by Section 2, Sub 2 of this 2005 Act no later than January 1st, 2007.
Any questions? Concerns?
Concerns. I mean, we're going to discuss this. We're going to hear some testimony on these changes.
I do have Don Fleming from Department of Administrative Services. And Don, if you'll tell me what the bill looks like to you, tell us.
Chair Dowell, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Don Fleming. I'm the State Chief Information Officer, and I report to Lori Warner, the Acting Director of the Department of Administrative Services. We have reviewed the proposed amendments to the bill, and we concur with the amendments. Many of them reflect original wording in the bill that came out of the House that I supported at that time. And we believe that this bill represents a much clearer statement than existing law about what the state must do to achieve the risk exposure reduction that is required, and it was discovered or based on the vulnerability assessments that were recently performed. So we strongly support the bill. I'd be happy to discuss it further or go into it in more detail, depending on how much you'd like to hear.
Yes.
Since obviously this affects the Secretary of State, the Treasurer, and the Attorney General, I'd like to hear their perspectives. I thought there was another amendment or something that was a compromise that had been worked out at one point in time. Am I wrong about that?
Chair Dowell, Senator Shields, the original bill that came out of, was drafted in the IMT committee and came out of the House, went to Rules Committee and Senate, and that meeting or several folks that objected to various parts of it, and Senator Brown directed me to work with those organizations to see if we couldn't come up with compromises that were mutually agreeable, and we did. Those involved a partial exemption for the university system and lottery, and full exemptions for the three elected agencies. It also, the process of arriving at those changes to the bill was a very constructive process, and there were some, I believe, improvements to the bill beyond the exemptions that occurred through that process. The changes that are now presented, the additional amendments that are presented today, make changes like shall instead of may, and add back in that we will do the vulnerability assessments using third party firms to perform those assessments, and that's what we do anyway. So it's sort of a non-point for me. That's the way you would do then. You get the best people in the world that are on top of security threat situations to come in and help you assess your situation, determine if you're properly protected or you're not. So we support the bill, the process that we went through with the university systems, the lottery, and the three elected agencies. I thought it was a very constructive and helpful process, and I think we arrived at a better bill as a result. The exemptions that the full exemptions that the three elected agencies have asked for, I don't think in any way indicate their lack of support for this kind of a strategy or program. And in fact, they've agreed that this sort of an approach is required in order to properly protect the state. And in the event that we're not able to arrive at an agreeable situation between us and them, we would take whatever measures that were necessary to protect the infrastructure for the state.
If I might, Senator Shields, since the meeting that Mr. Fleming had with the agencies, I also have had a meeting, and for the record, I see the Secretary of State, the Treasurer, and the Attorney General have representatives in the room, and I'm going to say that they concur with the changes and support them, and if I see any shaking of the head, no, we'll call them to the stand and you can question them at length, but in my office, we all concurred that we can live with these changes.
Question?
Question. Yes.
I just want to make sure you have a Secretary of State that's elected and a Attorney General that's elected statewide. A Treasurer is elected statewide. Their security systems right now, I assume, would be the responsibility of the Attorney General, Treasurer, Secretary of State. I mean, those are the people that would be responsible if there was a security breach. Now, would all of that become the governor's responsibility? Would he be the one that we would hang if there was a security breach, rather than the treasurer, the attorney general, or the secretary of state?
Chair Dowell, Senator Shields, members of the committee. The three elected agencies already do a pretty good job, and Treasury in particular does an excellent job in security. What would be necessary for us would be the ability to directly verify that the systems connected to the network, regardless of who owns them, are secure. We do not have to ourselves directly secure those systems. We just simply have to ensure that they are secured. So the way we would work with those agencies, and with most other agencies, in fact, is that their staffs would perform the whatever tasks are necessary to bring those systems up to the agreed-to standard, and that our job would be to ensure that that occurs in a timely fashion.
Further questions?
Not of this witness, please.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Any other questions?
I guess I'm looking for clarification. I'm following on what you just mentioned. So would you say that this bill expressly prohibits DAS and or agent of DAS access to the security, the IT systems of Treasury, Attorney General, and Secretary of State? Beyond the plan, is the plan enough to ensure that the security is there? And then, like you were saying, the staff of these three agencies perform the actual.
Chair Dowell, Representative Ford, and members of the committee, it is not enough to receive a piece of paper or a letter from somebody certifying that they are in compliance with the plan. What is stated in the bill is that DAS will directly verify the state and condition systems connected to the network in scope systems, regardless of who owns those systems, to ensure, because it's one of these weakest link things. All of these people we're talking about make extensive use of the computing and networking infrastructure. It's extremely important as a principle that there be one centrally managed computing and networking infrastructure which is shared and used by the participating agencies. We are sensitive to and respect the fact that these three agencies are elected, but on the other hand, it is extremely important that all the systems that are connected to the network that interact with important state systems are secure, and that has not been true in the past. And I'm not making that statement about these three particular agencies, because I mentioned earlier they in general have done a pretty good job. It's the principle, though, that everybody's systems that are connected to and make extensive use of the network, we must have the opportunity to directly verify. In the past, we have exchanged letters that have said everything was just fine, and it has not been just fine. And so we've all agreed that it makes sense for us to have one objective standard, which we arrive at in a collaborative way. So this is not something that DAS will go off and unilaterally impose on everybody. So it is not true that we can do this job without examining the systems.
Thank you.
Does that answer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Senator Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the hard work you've done on this, and I support the amendment. But just for the record, a couple things I want to make clear, because you've been referring to the elected agencies. They are not elected agencies. They are members of the executive branch. You know, the head of it happens to be an elected official, but those are not. They are part of the executive branch, not the legislative, judicial. The Department of Education, Bureau of Labor and Industry also has an elected person. They are not specifically referred to in this legislation. So just, you know, for a matter of the record, they are part of the executive branch. We have actually differentiated between three of them, and two of them we have not. But yeah. I think you've done a good job on this. I think it's important, and I commend the chair for their work on that.
Any questions or concerns? If not, I would entertain a motion to adopt the amendments.
Yes. I move the dash B4 amendments be made a part of House Bill 3145.
And will the clerk call the roll?
Can we discuss that amendment now that you've moved it?
Yes.
We've been using a nodding of heads, and I just wanted to get that nodding of heads relative...
On the record?
Yes.
Could I have the representative from the treasurer's office, the secretary's office, and the attorney general's office? I see he left.
No, he's right over here.
There you go. Maybe you'll come up together and do a little stronger than nod your head.
Mr. Chair, he was up collaborating with the director of DAS.
My question, Mr. Chair, is of the three of you. I've met with so many people on this issue. I just want to make sure these amendments are what we discussed last week, essentially.
Chair Dallin, Senator Shields, these amendments stay with... we worked...
Identify yourself.
For the record, your name, please. I'm Jesse Cornett. I'm with the Secretary of State's office. The amendments drafted here, the dash B4s, are very similar to all the language we've been discussing with DAS all along. They don't stray very far away from that, and we're very supportive of these amendments.
Okay.
For the record.
For the record, Inga Decker with the State Treasurer's Office, Chair Dallin, Senator Shields. You know, we had met with you before this meeting, and we do support the be-engrossed version of the bill, and we also are okay. We can live with these amendments. I just want to make clear that even with the amendments, the basic structure of the bill is still intact. Section 1, Section 2, and Section 3. Section 2 is the section that refers to our three respective elected officials, and that section says notwithstanding Section 1, and then lays out what the duties are for our three officials, and so I just want to make that clear.
So, follow-up. Section 2, which we did discuss, essentially remains as was. Is that right?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Chair Dallin, for the record, Kevin Neely, Attorney General's Office, and members of the Conflict Committee, we are okay with the amendments as they're drafted. It seems to us that the fundamental difference between the B version of the bill and the amendments is that now we have a mandate to put one of these plans in place. I think it's safe to say for each of our agencies, we already have very strong security, and part of that security is an effective plan. And I think we'll be able to meet those needs. I do want to make it clear that we believe at the end of the day that language in this bill clearly states that our independent elected officials do have final authority over all IT systems within the Department of Justice, Secretary of State's office, and Treasurer's office. I don't think this language in any way weakens that authority.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate getting that on the public record, especially the kind of the expansion that the clarification, which is a doubt that each of them have brought to the discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions, discussion, comments? If not, call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Having concurred with the amendments to the Senate amendments dated July 1st, 2005, the bill will be further amended and repassed with the dash B4 amendments. Can you call the roll?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. On the carrier for the Senate, Senator Shields. On the carrier for the House, I will be myself. And with that, that should conclude the business of this conference committee.
Everybody stick around so we can get some signatures.
And if you'll sign the appropriate paperwork, we'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you. Next.
That's quite.